You are now plugged into Action Feature.
Spike Speed. Sounds good.
Hey everyone, welcome to Action Features. We've got a special mini episode today for a special promotion. Artist Mark Schultz is with us. How you doing, Mark?
Great. How you guys doing?
Very good.
Doing awesome.
Welcome back.
Good to be back. I appreciate you having me back so relatively quickly.
Well, it was important to do it at this point because you have a new book coming out, and
Yes. You've
got a Kickstarter up for this book.
Yes, I do.
Yes, it's Carbon 2, a sequel to the first book of titled Carbon. Sorry, I'm screwing up my words here. The first book was awesome, and it's a collection of various drawings, like your various drawings series was. And you met your Kickstarter goal within the first 5 hours.
It was crazy.
Yeah, I mean, the first goal. Yeah, knock on wood, I've got people that jumped right on this, and it's always good to get that out of the way, that initial goal out of the way. Now we're pushing stretch goals, which will allow us to add on things to the books, and I'm grateful.
Yeah, that's the thing about the Kickstarter. A lot of people don't seem to get that just because you meet your first initial goal doesn't mean it's over. Like, okay, well, I don't need to back it anymore. The more people that back, the better the product gets, the more you add on. It's those stretch goals are really where the project starts to take even a greater shape, where it just becomes a bigger and better thing. The more people that get involved, while it's still a Kickstarter project, the better the end project will be.
And it's fine if it depends, you know, different people want different things out of whatever product they're getting from a campaign, but I'm perfectly happy if people just want to donate once and done and get what they initially saw, you know, proposed. But yeah, if thank goodness there's people that also like to push the envelope a bit and get a little better, a little bit more enhanced product out of it.
Yeah, I was reading from, I'm not meaning to step on your toes.
No.
Was it John from Flesk that did an update on there saying something that if it hits 30,000 and increases the size of the book?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's Storms at Sea, right? You're offering actually two books through this Kickstarter.
Yeah, it's Carbon 2 and Storms at Sea.
Yeah, we're offering Carbon 2. You can get the trade edition, you know, the paper, the soft cover trade edition, or for $40 contribution, you get the hardcover deluxe version, which is hardcover signed, and then we're also offering the long-awaited deluxe Storms at Sea volume. Storms at Sea came out last summer. That's my prose story that is heavily illustrated.
Right.
And we finally found the time and the wherewithal to put together a campaign that would coordinate both Carbon 2 coming out and get the deluxe edition of Storms at Sea. And the idea with Storms at Sea is to make it'll be a bigger format. We're going to print the art full board, just like you're looking as close to possible as looking at the actual boards. There's not going to be any cropping of the art. And as if we can reach our stretch goals, it'll increase the size of the book. It'll get bigger and bigger, with the ideal being getting it as close as possible to the original, the size of the original boards. It won't quite get there, but we hope to get it close to that.
I have had the benefit of looking at the actual art in person, in hand.
Oh, well,
and,
look at you.
I have to say it's so impressive, and it would be awesome to have as close to that as possible in book form. Those are both limited, right?
Yeah, boy, offhand, I can't think what the numbers are.
I think it's something like 600.
I'm looking 600 at
600
right
sounds right.
Yeah.
Yes,
that's very tempting for me.
Because they're broken up into different pledges, like each book is, and then there's a combo pack that has both of them together, so it combines the numbers into one.
Right.
But I mean, this Kickstarter is so well done. It's like all this different art you can see on here. There's a video at the beginning. It's just a really nice. nicely put together Kickstarter.
Yeah, thanks. Well, that's really all. Well. I say thank you, but it's all John Fleskus that puts these together, and he's gotten
well.
Really
he ain't
good
here, so
yeah.
We're taking the credit for this one.
Did also incentive wise, there's a free exclusive print, right? No matter what you pledge,
there's you get that
right, and
you get your. And actually, I'm working right now. I'm working on the preliminary for another print we'll be offering as one of the stretch goals.
Oh man! So what do you think it'll take to? Because I've already pledged, and I'm like, I want that other print.
Well, you can add on,
right?
You can add on later on
if I do that. Okay.
Yeah. And I don't. Again, I don't know the intricacies. This is right. John's value. This is his. Wheelhouse. He knows.
Right.
He knows the stuff. But yeah, I do believe you can just add on. And,
yeah. You can't be troubled with such things. You've got tons of artwork to do. You've been very busy this
year.
Oh God, this wild computer stuff you kids do now. It's just confusing and intimidating.
Don't let me touch into that.
Eye. Yeah,
James does all the computer stuff. I don't even take care of that. let's talk for a second about Carbon 2 and just like a little behind the scenes stuff if you want to. What's it like to put that kind of book together, and do you set things aside as you're working on them and say, oh, this could be good for the book, or do you just like hand over everything to John afterwards and just say, hey, or pick like 100 different things, and or I mean, how involved are you with picking out what goes in there?
Well, I'm involved. Yeah, you know, it comes down to how much work do I produce over a given amount of time.
Right.
You know, we need to have enough to have a good body of work there.
Sure.
But yeah, I usually make the initial cut. I decide what I definitely want in the book, and then, you know, there's a lot of stuff which maybe yes, maybe no, and a lot of it has to do with the flow of that particular volume.
What right.
pieces work well with each other, and what's kind of just the general, I don't know how to express it really, but just the general feel for that particular book.
Yeah.
So I'll send plenty of stuff to John. I mean, I've narrowed it down to stuff that I'm comfortable, I would be comfortable having reproduced in a volume. And then he, you know, between the two of us, we make more choices and whittle it down. And then we start playing with the order of things to make sure, again, that they kind of flow kind of thematically, and there's some variety. At the same time, it's not like we've got page after page after page of penciled pieces,
right.
and then a bunch of inks. We mix it up and try to, and a lot of it is obvious choices. And as you put things together, you know, there's always some pieces that initially I thought would look good in there, but they don't quite work with the other pieces, so they go, and maybe they'll appear in another volume someday, or maybe not. Maybe I'll use them for something else. But yeah, so we work together to choose the actual subjects the actual pieces that'll be in there, and then once we decide on that, we work together to design the book to figure out what the whole package is going to look like.
Right. So you, would you say that this book has a theme? I mean, is it? I imagine there's going to be a lot of storms at sea stuff, preliminaries and things in there.
Yes,
but
yeah, you know what? There is not a theme. Some of them have a specific. I can tell it's kind of like a lot of the pieces revolve around a particular subject matter, like the ocean.
Right? Do you think that just happens, or that's? I mean, that's not planned by you, right? It just.
No, I'm not thinking in terms of that. It's just it just kind of falls that way sometimes. I'm trying to think if there was a particular theme to this one. You know, a subject matter theme, I don't think there was. It was more just how pieces flowed together, which ones seemed to set well with others, and what things gave you some nice contrast, but at the same time weren't jarring. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Oh, it makes, kind of hard. It makes complete sense, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a feel thing. There's no rules to it. It's just, how it feels.
Man. It's mostly carbon pencil this time, or you think there's a pretty even mix? I think volume one was much more heavily carbon pencil than any of the various drawings.
Yes, yeah, it was, because there was stuff from Storms at Sea in there, and also some carbon pieces I was doing over color watercolor, more painted pieces. And there's a few of those pieces, this one, but I don't think there was as many as there was in the last one. This one is more ink pieces and graphite pencil pieces. Okay. There's one fully painted piece inside that's kind of like, the if you've seen the cover to Carbon 2, it's kind of that technique, a watercolor technique.
Yeah. I was going to ask about that. Are you using gouache or are you just doing straight watercolors?
Right now, it's all transparent watercolor, and really trying to, that's kind of my goal, to wrap my head around and get proficient at that.
Yeah.
Because I want to be able to do, going forward, do all my cover work ideally in watercolor, so I can control the color itself, rather than, a lot of times, it's so difficult to do the black line with color added that used to be common in comics, doing it by hand. It's so hard to get the blue lines produced, everything, all the technical aspects of doing that, because
right.
Now most people do it all in computer, and I still want to, because I still can get things that I can't get in computer, I still want to do that watercolor technique by hand, and it's just so difficult to get printers to understand what you need technically to be able to execute pieces like that, using black line and a color overlay. So my solution to that is to hopefully become, again, proficient enough at watercolor that I can do it quickly enough to just handle all color work, cover work, and color work in general
right.
by myself using watercolor.
Well,
and so far, I think I've made some good steps in that direction, but it's not there yet, and it's taken me way too long yet. So,
well, I know, people can be their own worst critics, but man, I was blown away by the cover on Carbon 2 when I saw it. I saw the pencil first, and you know it was fantastic, but when I saw that color, I was just really floored.
Well, you're very
floored.
Kind.
That's my honest reaction.
Thanks. I was pretty pleased with that. It was definitely. The most, it got closer to what I want to get to. I just want to get confident enough with it that I can be looser
right.
and more. I think we talked about this in an email, but just start splashing that color around in places and,
right.
and then get tight where it needs to be, like concentrating on the figure, get it resolved and very crystal clear, but then be confident enough to keep other areas loose and more dynamically exciting, you know, just. Big splashes of paint, being much looser with the rendering.
Right. Keep going. Keep going with it.
Okay.
Keep practicing.
There.
Okay.
I know.
It's all putting in the reps. That's what it is.
That's what it is. Yes. I know Jack and Hannah is going to be in the book.
So. Absolutely.
Yes.
Oh, you mean Jack and Hannah from Xenozoic Tales?
James is dying to ask.
What's happening on that Xenozoic front, Mark? I know we talked last time that it was coming. That was a while ago, though. That we talked.
Yeah, no. There's. You know, I'm still working on slowly the graphic novel. I forget when I talked. Was I working on that last time?
You
we
had
talked?
Started.
You had
yeah.
started it. Yeah.
Started
yeah. Yeah. I haven't got much more done on it because there's been all these other things to take care of, but. That's coming. I'm back in that direction.
Are you thinking about taking Xenozoic the same direction as this and doing like a Kickstarter where you can do different forms of it, or is it just going to be straight to shops? You think?
That's a good question. That's kind of up to. I'll let that up to John, my publisher. He looks at every project as an individual thing and determines, you know, what's the best way to handle that. My guess offhand would be we'll probably do just a direct to shops trade edition,
okay,
and then a deluxe edition that will probably be offered as a Kickstarter campaign. That seems to work well for us. So my guess right now would be that more than likely that's what we'd do again.
That'd be great. That way it's accessible really through a lot of shops. But still, that somebody wants a more deluxe, a fancier treatment, that they have that available to them.
That seems to be kind of like a good template that's really working, and that's like one of the things that Kickstarter really addresses those people that want the extra bells and whistles, the deluxe edition. That you're not going to have a huge. It's you're not going to have enough of a constituency that wants that. That it makes sense maybe to just kind of throw a scattershot out there to the public. But,
yeah.
But there's that hardcore that will go that extra spend that extra money for that kind of a product.
It's so nice to have that. Can't do it for everything, most people, but it's so nice to get those deluxe editions and have that signature in there and just know that you have a limited thing. It's kind of special.
And the Kickstarter is great for that, too, in that, yeah. You know, it doesn't put the financial risk at the publisher right off the bat. It's like, okay, once we have a definitive amount of customers that are definitely going to get into this, then we can move forward. I think that's great. You know exactly what your
really
base is.
It is really a great tool. And, you know, a couple of years ago, I was still thinking in terms of, you know, is this seems too good to be true. It does serve so many purposes. Because, right, if you've got a project and you don't know, is there enough people to support this? You float it out there as a Kickstarter and it doesn't go. Well, no one's out, you know.
Yeah.
The people who reevaluate aren't out. Yeah, you reevaluate and you figure. And you haven't sunk a lot of money into it.
So yeah.
It's a valuable tool. And as it's still pointed out to me by someone brought this up to me the other day, it's also just so even if you know that something isn't going to go, it's still a good way of getting the word out there that there's something there.
Definitely.
To build up interest for the future, to start planting seeds.
Plus, I think when you're supporting a Kickstarter, I don't know, I feel like I'm more involved in it. Like I'm part of the team. If I'm getting in on a Kickstarter, I'm like, hey, I help support this project, and I kind of get invested in it. Like, I really want it to succeed, and when I have this thing and it shows up at my doorstep, I'm like, I took part in this. You know, like, I was one of the people that, even if I only pledged $20-25, I still feel like I'm actively involved in this project happening instead of just going into a bookstore and buying a book. Where you don't feel like you're really involved, you're just buying a product, but you're not helping that product to get made.
Yeah.
I think that's really neat.
Absolutely.
I've never
done... And we see online, or rather on the Kickstarter comments, just the I guess you call it almost passion some people have to get involved and to push the goals forward and stuff. I mean, people do get involved, and it becomes almost a competitive thing, I think.
Yeah. You're rapidly approaching that second...
The 30,000?
Yeah, the 30,000.
Yeah.
And I'd never done any Kickstarter before either, but I, you know, just recently with the dinosaur figures.
Beasts of the Mesozoic.
Beasts of the Mesozoic that you did the piece for, I supported that, and I supported this. And to get you get emails on updates, and it's just, James is right, it's so involved. I feel like I'm involved in this, even though...
Really, and the people that are really smart about it are the ones that, keep people involved by being right on top of answering comments and putting up frequent updates, but yeah, I know it keeps me it sucks me right in and keeps me very involved in the campaigns I've contributed to.
Yes, well, Mark, I'm so excited about this book. The other one was what three years ago when it comes out. I'm just excited.
Yeah, it's been 3 years.
Yeah, anytime something like this comes out, I get excited. So I'm stoked for it. I'm glad to see that the Kickstarter has started off so well. It's not done yet.
So far, so good.
But like I said, in the first 5 hours, you know, you guys knocked out your first goal. So it's just awesome. And I thank you so much for taking time out and talking to us.
It's easy to find the project, too. If you want to check out the project, you can go to Kickstarter.com. If you just put in the word carbon alone, you're one of the four things that pop up right off the bat. You can also put in, like, Carbon Mark Schultz. Or we'll put a link underneath
we'll
the podcast to it directly to it. I also want people to check out... Oh, no problem. I want people to check out that Beast of the Mesozoic that you did the print for, too, because that's a great Kickstarter.
And there's only 100 of those prints available.
Isn't that amazing? That is so cool. I've never taken part into with a Kickstarter program that involved toys or any kind of three-dimensional object. So I had no idea what was going to happen with that, but it's obviously there's a huge...
that one's on fire, too. Yours and that one are both doing great.
Yeah, they've got great support. They've unlocked like four or five.
Yeah, five more dinosaurs. Yeah, yeah, it's
it's really cool.
Very cool. It's very cool.
It was awesome that they. I don't know who brought you into that project, but what a brilliant choice if you're doing a dinosaur line to bring in like the best dinosaur artist out there. You know what I mean?
Well, you're very kind. Dave Silva, the guy who's
the
creator of this. Yeah, the sculptor and, you know, the whole the businessman and sculptor behind this. He's a graduate of SCAD, Savannah College of Art and Design, where I teach down there on occasion. And so I got to know him through, you know, both our involvement with SCAD, and that's just networking. So I was in the right place at the right time when he needed someone to do do a print. That worked out nicely.
It's so nice looking. So yeah, that just awesome projects. It's good to see you're very active right now. And
I'm staying out of the pool halls. Not on wood. I've been keeping busy.
Hey, do you have any do you have any conventions coming up that you want to talk about appearing at or anything like that?
Oh yeah, thanks. Yeah, I'm going to be in Louisville for the Wonderfest in June 4th, 5th, I think it is, the first weekend of June.
Hey, that's close. Maybe, Louisville's not far at all.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't even think of that. That's just down the road for you guys.
Maybe we'll make a drive.
Yeah. And then I believe I'm going to be down in Charlotte, North Carolina for Heroes Con.
Okay.
Which is sometime a couple weeks later in June. I say I believe I am because they still haven't gotten in touch with me about flights, and so I'm still waiting to hear from them on that. But they have me listed on their site as a guest, so.
That must mean something.
You better find out.
Yeah, I know. It's coming up fast. San Diego, I'll be doing the big Comic-Con International, as usual. And after that, I'm doing Boston in August. I think it's just called, what's it called? Boston Comic-Con, I believe.
Yeah, I don't know the name of that one.
August. And then I'll be doing the Baltimore Con in early September.
You're doing a lot more conventions than normal.
Yeah, well,
right?
There's just a lot more conventions these days that are asking you to attend. We're in this boom period for conventions.
Right.
So yeah, I've been planning to wind down the number of conventions I do. But
How is Xenozoic Tales going to get done with you?
Yeah,
gallivanting all
around
the country.
Rough, man.
Exactly.
I'll help you.
You can take some paper with you.
I'll help you on it.
Be careful what you say.
No, I mean it.
Well, it's good to hear too that the conventions are bringing in some of the really great professionals that, you know, not the flash in the pan. Yeah, there's something to be said about some of the flash in the pan guys, but and backing away a little bit more from the Hollywood stuff. I know Comic-Con, there's a lot of studios that are pulling out on Comic-Con San Diego this year.
Because
they think it's adding spoilers, but that's great news for me. I'm more all for more comic stuff at comic shows and less Hollywood stuff at comic shows.
Well, you know, I think a good example of like a more recent con was that Cincinnati show I did last year where I met you, Michael.
Yeah.
It absolutely did, I think, a great job of combining, the solid mainstream name artists right now, the ones that are, you know, bringing in the kids. And they mixed that up with, older people like myself and some indie people. So there was a real nice mix there.
There were some people there that I wish I had taken more time and talked to, but I was distracted. I went straight to your table and I just stood there.
I'm sorry about that.
No. I don't regret it at all.
So next time, leave him alone, Mark.
Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah. Let the guy enjoy the show.
Oh, yeah, jeez.
Wait a minute. Don't leave, Michael. Look at this.
Jesus, well, Mark.
Where are you going? You going to lunch? Can I go with you?
Yeah. This Schultz fella. Oh, boy. No, it was a great time, though. So maybe we'll see you in a little...
They're doing it right, I think. You know, that convention is getting it right, and I think it seems like that just bring in a wide variety of, you know, interests,
right?
Reader interests, you know, and they're not going. I mean, it's like the worst is the wizard conventions; they're just awful.
I'm not a big fan of them either. I get real sad when I hear a show that I like gets bought out by Wizard. Like I used to love Mid Ohio Con. But the minute Wizard bought it out, I lost complete interest. It just became this machined show where it was just like...
It's a machine show, absolutely. That's a good word for it.
I didn't dig it. The ticket price went up and the talent went down and it was just not fun anymore.
It's all about hitting people that, for some reason, their interests are standing in line and paying $50 to get a TV star's signature, which is fine if that's what you're into, but it's not a comic convention.
Not anymore, no.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Well.
Well, we may try and swing down to Louisville then. That's pretty close.
Yeah, do that.
I think I'm going to try. That'd be fun. I'll bring James with me if he's
maybe.
If he's able.
I got like 9 kids running around my house. Right. So it's tougher for me to make it out than you are.
Well, come on down. Yeah, you do that. Come on down, and we'll get out to lunch at least.
That would be great.
Oh boy, that changes everything. I love lunch.
Don't change your mind on that. I'm going to show up.
Yeah,
I really enjoy lunch.
I'm going to bribe you with lunch. If you've never been to that show, it's in a hotel that, you know, everything is, it's not a huge show. It's a real fascinating show because it's so many different varied interests. You know, the film world is there as well as comics and modeling. It's just a neat mix. But it's just a real comfortable place to, you can get away easily to the restaurant there. And
sounds good.
Just nice and laid back.
All right.
Well, this is great.
We'll look forward to it.
Yeah.
Everybody should check out the Kickstarter. Like I said, it'll be linked in the bottom of the episode or on the website.
You can go to fleskpublications.com. You can look up Mark on Facebook, which we'll put a link to also. It's Mark Schultz, Xenozoic Tales and Other Stories.
We'll tag you when we post the podcast, too, so they can
thank
see
you.
It right off the bat.
Yeah. So thank you, Mark, once again for coming on and spending this time with us.
It's always awesome getting to talk to you. This is... When Mike said that we were going to do an update,
I
was super excited.
Yeah, and good luck. Bye. Good luck with the rest of the Kickstarter. It seems like it's no problem, but I want our listeners to support too if they can.
For sure.
Yeah,
I appreciate it, guys.
All right, we're going to sign off on this one.
It's
been James, Mike, and Mark.
Action Features,
the new regular on the show. Mark, we'll expect you on next week. So we're signing off on this one, and we'll see you guys next time.
All right.